Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Mr. Duffer. I'll let you have some sort of intro for this, but I'm not going to. You just improvise it. Don't worry about it. It's the Justice League. What else do you need than us two people? How's Mr. Josh Brown doing?
I'm doing all right. I had a nice long weekend over the Easter weekend, Scott. Played a lot of games, broke a lot of controllers, but I'm back. I'm back and rejuvenated now.
You might say those controllers broke themselves. The PS5 yes. controllers, either the trigger's going or the drift's going. Touch wood. I have no wood in my vicinity. Touch this table. My stuff so far is held together, but you're the second person I know. I mean, Ben Roy's is broken. Yours is broken. It's not doing very well.
Literally, mine and Ben Roy's broke within like 5 days of each other. He had the trigger issue, and I woke up Saturday morning. I woke up early, man, to play Borderlands 3. And
I can't believe that jumped on 2021, but carry on.
I jumped on, and I just started drifting left, and I was like, this is bad. This is not good, and it ruined my day. But it's fine. I got a same-day delivery of a new controller. I shouldn't have had to, but, it's all fixed now.
That's good. I think, we sort of treat this Monday slot as just whatever's going on in the industry. And there's very little going on in the industry, but there are actual games to talk about. Both of us picked up Disco Elysium, initially released in 2019, I think, on the PC, but now getting the final cut on consoles, or at least on PS4 and PS5, which comes with like a fully voiced. They've managed to go back. Apparently there's over 1 million lines of dialogue in it. I kind of heard that statistic doing the rounds. But Disco Elysium is like a top-down RPG, sort of very much reads your thoughts, your inputs. It's very dialogue-driven. And it just suggests different things. It's like, oh, you think this way, don't you? And it like gives you a trophy, and maybe it outs you as a filthy centrist like it did with me. I got the most boring centrist ever trophy was the first thing I unlocked. I was like, well, look, I'm just trying to figure out this particular context before I go in with all the hashtag opinions. I think Disco Elysium is worth picking apart because it was a lot of people's game of the year in 2019 and had a lot of sort of critical favor around then. And it's been something that me and you have been looking forward to as this. It's weird because I think one of the best things about it is the story. It's the way that it unfurls itself. It is this game that has this whole mechanic around building thoughts and realizing which thoughts connect to each other. And you can pick specific things to focus on that you mull over and unlock different points towards something like being more authoritative in conversations or analyzing crime scenes or whatever. But it is a detective game. Like, that's the main thing that I think. I didn't know anything going in, but the basic structure is that you are this hungover, completely burnt out cop who doesn't remember anything at all. And that lets you sort of mold him as you go forward, trying to solve this murder that apparently you've already arrived on the scene to do. And then for whatever reason, you got off your face, mad, drunk, proper The Hangover. It's, to be honest, it is The Hangover. Like, it is literally, yeah. I don't remember anything, but something was in motion before. And then you have to try and pick up the pieces. But that also factors into how does your thoughts come together? How do you approach this case? What are your personal philosophies and politics and everything else? What's your thoughts on it? What's your general sort of vibe on it?
Yeah, I mean, I went into this game wanting to enjoy it, so I want to just like put that on the table first. I've been looking forward to it. Like, even before it was announced, I was checking Wikipedia every 2 weeks, wondering if they finally announced a PC, a PlayStation port of it. So it's finally arrived. And even with those lofty expectations, it's continuing to live up to them. I'm about 14 hours in, but I think I'm a touch behind you. I've been taking it very slow, just kind of like drinking it all in. Mm-hmm. And I just love like everything from the atmosphere to the aesthetic to just like the central conceit, like you said, of waking up completely hungover after a night sporting party eyes. And you need to figure out what you're doing, why you're a cop, what's going on with this murder. And then it just like talking to people, talking like through it. I think the game's got like a wicked sense of humor that's had me genuinely like belly laughing as I go. Same. I think it's just so funny. And like, it's just the writing is so great. And like, I want to find out more about the world. I love it when you have like a breakthrough in the actual case itself. We won't get into spoilers here, but when everything starts to click into place, it's just an awesome experience, at least so far. And like, mm-hmm. I can't wait to finish work today so I can go to the new area that I've unlocked tonight. And
the thing is, like, yeah, because I was doing like sort of 6-7 hour stints with it, and then I hit, like, because it's worth pointing out that right now, if you pick it up right now and you don't have the 1.2 patch, it is quite buggy on consoles, and there is like certain NPC dialogue won't play, or like in the case of where I'm at, I'm slightly ahead of you in regards to like, between talking to each other, we've sort of realized that I'm apparently slightly ahead on certain aspects of the case. But one of the biggest bugs is there are quest blocking bugs, like maybe you can't pick up an item, or like, there's a character you can't talk to, or maybe a cutscene just repeats itself rather than advancing or something like that. The developers, Zaum, ZA/UM, I'm going to call them Zaum. They've said that they are aware of that stuff. They were collecting, like, they had a whole Google Sheets bug report across the weekend that I and many others filled out, and they've addressed that stuff. They said there's a 1.2 patch fixing everything. So if you're kind of holding back a little bit, assumedly it'll be fixed this week. Like, I mean, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, the game, like, it absolutely, the thing is, like, because you start out as just this total hungover dude, and you can literally say to people when they're sort of asking, because you meet up with your partner, Kim Kutsuragi, and he's just saying, like, well, look, like, you know, what progress have you made? What have you found out? There's this body hanging from a tree. We need to go find out what's happened. And you can literally say to him, like, ostensibly, what's a tree? What's the police? What's going on? Who am I? And literally play it as dumb as you want. And I think that one thing that advances over time is that you have this big sort of play space to explore in your own time. Like, there is a timer element to it. Like, different things happen across the day. Different characters will be in different places. Or maybe you need to wait until, because the game starts on Monday, maybe you need to wait until Wednesday or whatever for a certain pathway to open up. But because you have that play space and you're aware of where certain characters will be at certain times, once things start coming together and you sort of regain a bit of agency and go like, okay, I actually know who I am now. I know what I was doing before. And I know what sort of leads need to be followed up, or I know which pieces of evidence I need to take to other characters. There's something about, it's proper Mass Effect 2 vibes, where I just, mm-hmm. every time in Mass Effect 2, I would just canvas the whole Normandy ship to just see what new dialogue was there for those characters. And I'm in that mode now, where I'm just loving having conversations. And for me, it hasn't been since a Mass Effect game that I've just loved talking to those characters. And there are some characters that I sort of want to spotlight. But in terms of like the weird, addictive, Moorish feel to it, like, you are spending so much time talking, but like, it has a weird set of gameplay loops that don't really make themselves visible until a good few hours in.
Yeah, totally. And like, it is something that you find really addictive, because every time you get through a conversation, you want to implement what you've learned, whether it's about yourself, whether it's about the world, whether it's about the case, whatever. You want to follow up on like certain things. And I think it's interesting that when you first start it, you get like a huge to-do list. You have a bunch of things that you need to sort out, you need to find.
Which was crazy in the first place. I was like overwhelmed by that initially.
Well, totally. It's overwhelming. But for me, it was in a good way, because, you know, we were comparing what we did in the first day, and you went and did stuff that I didn't get around to until the second day, and that was like hours and hours of content. You know,
I did get lost, to be fair. I did wonder, because you get told like, hey, because you're in a hotel, it's like, leave the hotel and there's a body hanging from a tree. It's round the back is what they say. And I just, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but I ended up just, I don't know why. I literally don't know why. If I think back on it, I don't know why I didn't go the direction that I guess you would say is pretty obvious, but I didn't go towards the body. So I went and spent like an hour talking to all the townsfolk and talking to a load of different people and finding out all this different context about the world. And then it was in the afternoon of the first day where I was like, oh yeah, I should probably go find out what that body was. And then I eventually got back to where you actually started the game.
Well, it's good, because I like that, even though that's obviously the most pressing thing, go and figure out what the body's up to and what's going on there. Like, you don't have to do it. It doesn't impact, like, what's going on. Like, for me, I made a bunch of breakthroughs, and that body was still in the back, like, hanging around. And, like, I just didn't, like, solve it. And, like, me and Kim were like, we should figure out what's going on with this body at some point. You know, we can't keep this dude stinking out there. Like,
so where you are right now, have you not? Yeah, that's the thing. You haven't actually solved like the main case yet, or you haven't like made main progress in that. Cause I think it's worth delving into again, without spoilers. The fact that one of the reasons this game is so championed is that you can have these completely different paths through the game. Like, you can, like, for me, I've resolved the vast majority of that initial case and I'm now into something else. But like, for you, have you been doing everything else and leaving the sort of the quote unquote main case until later?
No, because I've just been doing it in a different way. So I didn't go and analyze the body. I just, like you said, the game is so open that I found all of that information out through other avenues. So I know how the character died. I know the manner and why, what happened to him, why he's there and stuff like that. All of that information I got, I just got it in a way where I didn't interact with the body itself.
See, that's threats, really cool, because you didn't do the autopsy. You didn't do that stuff. Oh,
I did that last night after I had all of the information, and it was just me and Kim kind of confirming what we already knew. It was essentially, we used that to corroborate the story that we got off another character and kind of like confirm it. So we didn't get out any leads from there. That was just kind of finally getting around to it and being like, oh yeah, this matches with what they said, so it must be true, et cetera, et cetera. All this mustn't be true.
Mine was the total opposite, because there's also one of the facets of the fact that your character is so out of it is that they don't know where their badge, their gun, anything that they had on them is. Like, it's literally just the Hangover style. I think you literally do start in your underwear being like, what the hell's happened? And so I didn't have my case file at that point. So you can borrow pieces of paper to fill out like the proper report from your partner. You can also, that's another thing, we'll get into this, but you can totally be a complete mess. It's like the postal games. Like, if you literally just want to take a bunch of drugs, keep getting drunk, not solve anything, and just explore the dialogue side of it, you know, you can be full on like an absolute monstrous racist if you want to be. Like, there are characters that talk to you in that manner, and you can be like, yeah, I totally know what you mean, or whatever, and go down that route. Like, I haven't done that stuff yet, but they totally let you do those dialogue options. Like, they want you to be completely open with that stuff. But yeah, in regards to sort of like seeking out where that main bit goes, I didn't have the case file thing on me at all. So even that affected how we did the autopsy. And then me and partner Kim sort of like, he sort of led the way, like, so, oh, this means this contusion means this, or whatever. And my character, I had options to say, oh, I don't think so, or we should investigate this further. But for me, on the back foot, being this drunk, complete weirdo, I was just like, yeah, that sounds good. Sure, let's just get through the day. Like, very much what I would do if I was like blasted out my face and we were just getting through a shift. Like, in
totally, like, that element of role playing has been such a joy to indulge in, because this guy is a complete tragedy of a man. And it's up to you whether or not you want to try to reform him, try to redeem him, or just continue indulging in these behaviors. And I love, like, the system at the core of it that keeps it together for me isn't just the kind of, you know, the talking to people or the detective work. It's the way that your thoughts battle for control of your mind. So when you're building a character, you have like, I think it's like 24, 23 different traits that you can pump experience points into. So, you know, you've got like rhetoric, for instance, which makes you a better conversationalist. You've got logic, which allows you to piece things together. You've got wackier things like one called Inland Empire, which lets you understand the feelings of inanimate objects.
I was just going to say, because when we were first talking about how we were building our characters, and I was like, well, I put it into logic and empathy, and I'm trying to play it like myself. So I was like, well, if I was a detective, I would want to know the source of every piece of evidence. I would want to know, like, I want to empathize with these characters. What are their feelings towards this case? How do I figure this out? How would I figure this out? And I talked to you, and you were like, I put points into talking to chairs, and that's how I figured out. And I was like, I didn't even know that was a thing, but like, cool.
Well, the way I'm building my guy, I've mentioned this to you, but the way I'm building my detective is essentially he's Dale Cooper from Twin Peaks if he was a complete mess and a drug addict. So he's got tapped into this kind of otherworldly kind of like sensibility. He kind of knows what's going on just through intuition, but also at the same time, he's craving for a return to the party eyes and stuff like that. But I love when you're in dialogue of your, you know, talking to yourself even. The way for me, it's like the way the thoughts battle for control of the character, you know, you've got like all of these different intruding angles. You can be entirely kind of like fueled by your lust for drink and drugs and vices, or you can be a respectable policeman and have that side of your brain kind of like jumping in. And I like that every time they jump in, you know, they tell you a different kind of part of whatever situation you're in, but you can also fight against it, you know. You might have a part of your brain that's like, ooh, you've answered quite interesting in regards to the past few conversations, and it's like, are you a fascist, sir? Yeah. Like, no, I'm not. I don't think so. Am I a fascist?
Well, the thing that threw me off is that, because the game has no tutorial at all, so like that's the thing. You take place in regular conversations, you have dialogue with all these different characters, and then at certain points when you're in between, as you're just exploring in the world, you'll get like an X prompt over your main dude. And the reason we're not saying the name is that that is in itself part of the story. But like you'll get an X prompt or a prompt over their head. And once you go on that, it'll say like, hey, do you want to subscribe to the church of whatever, or like, you know, the ministry of whatever, being, you know, the body of thought that encompasses that particular thing. So whether that's an authoritative thing, like you said, like authority is one of the thought processes that makes up your character. It's weird to describe it, but I think that for me, because there's no tutorial at the very beginning when it popped up and said like, hey, do you want to subscribe? It was like the Church of Empathy or something like that. And the way that it's phrased is almost quite poetic, because there's quite a high level of writing in the game anyway. And then they're trying to sort of conceptualize what it means to sort of devote yourself to this like empathetical thought process. And I just went, no, like, I don't know what that is. Like, I just did, I couldn't at the very beginning. And I guess in a way I could argue that it's intentional, because obviously your character is so out of it for the first few hours, unless you seek out some pain medication, some headache tablets, and you sort of like manage to sober him up. That whole thing, I don't know if you had the same process, the same feeling with like the lack of a tutorial and the lack of guidance, or whether that actually factors in or not. Because I retrospectively, I can get why they did it like that. But that whole thing of the game suggesting from your basic dialogue, like, hey, maybe you want to subscribe to this thought process. For me, in amongst everything else, just being so all over the place at the beginning, I had no idea what that stuff was. And so it was only hours in that I was like, oh, I should have said yes to that, because then I could have explored that thought. You don't actually have to commit to it later, but it's more about your brain exploring thoughts and realizing who you are after you've unlocked all those thoughts.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it was definitely overwhelming at first, and I didn't know what was going on. The thought cabinet where you get all those thoughts and you can like pull them over and stuff, that was the only part of the game that I had to like Google to figure out what it was, because I didn't think the game adequately explained it.
No.
But I do love that it just gives you like these kind of like just ridiculous concepts right at the beginning, and it pushes you down certain avenues and you can take them. And that like grants you different buffs. It allows you different dialogue options and stuff. But I think the important thing is that you can forget them. You can decide that that's not you. You know, you can flirt with stuff and you won't be locked into it. You can suddenly decide that, no, I don't want to pursue this anymore. I want to put points into something else. I want to forget that thought. I want to replace it with, you know, whatever, an opposing thing. And I just thought that was so cool that you're essentially like you said, you're like this amnesiac cop and you're feeling your way around this world and you're going to make mistakes. I think that's the most important part of the game. Like, you're going to mess things up. You're going to fail prompts that you have an 89% chance of succeeding in.
That thing is so XCOM. It's like, oh, 95% chance it's going to work. Oh, you failed it. But I've got through on 3% ones. So I just wrote everything down. I'm like, well, I might as well.
You might as well. I like that though. I think that will piss a lot of people off. But for me, I'm like, this fits with the entire approach the game has set up so far, the way that this character is. Sometimes he can just fluke his way through certain scenarios, and other times you might have done all of the police work. You might have got everything to boost your chances. And it still doesn't work. You know, you still got to find another thing. I like it, but I can see why it might annoy you, because you're like, well, what reward do I get for putting in everything?
I think it's just that when you've spec'd towards a certain thing, like I've spec'd towards logic. So it's like the game also tells you that if you spec entirely towards a specific thing, you will then be completely devoted to it. So for example, if you completely spec towards logic, it warns you that you will only ever see the world in like binary or black and white, and you'll only ever be factual, and you won't be able to actually have a conversation with anybody anymore. So you definitely want to be like, you definitely want to mix out your thoughts and stuff. But the thing that annoys me in regards to the percentage stuff sometimes is that if I've expect a decent amount towards that thing, and it's a big story moment, there's a very like, you know, story integral character, I'm talking to them and I'm about to like break them and get some information, and then they go, oh, what evidence do you have? And then you can be like, well, logic, this says that you were here at this point at this time of the day, and I know that because this other character said this, 97% chance that I've got you, bang, and it doesn't work. And then it's like, well, cool then. Like, oh, I guess I'll just figure something else out. And most of the time, although every single time, something even more memorable has come from that, which kind of makes me wonder, because I'm always trying to think of like how are the cogs turning behind the scenes? Like, how much is the game serving these scenarios up versus you sort of manufacturing them yourself? But yeah, that was one of the only times that I sort of went like, well, that kind of sucks, minus the bug stuff. But yeah, like I said, everything else feels like it's always serving something up anyway. I mean, basically, the way that we've spec'd our characters, I think the voices in your character's head will be different to mine anyway, which is kind of fascinating.
Mine are ravenous, man. Like, mine are complete liabilities at times. I pumped a lot of points into, like I said, Inland Empire was my, you get to pick a sort of key trait before you start the game that, you know, automatically is a bit higher. But since then, I put a lot into drama as well. So I'm very theatrical.
That's the stuff that I've avoided, but go on.
Right. See, that's very good. Like, I love the voice for drama. It's the same voice I went through, but the dialogue for drama, I guess, it's like, it's so theatrical and ridiculous. but it is helpful, you know, because the points are helpful ultimately. And it's just such a fascinating game, man. And I'm excited to like go back through and respec in a completely different way to maybe get an experience that you've had. But when it comes to like the percentage roll stuff, when it comes to like one of those high percentages that you miss, I haven't missed that much because it is, you know, 90%. So when it does not work, it's memorable because you should have won it, obviously, but it hasn't happened enough time for me to go, well, this is useless. It's useless doing the legwork if it's going to be a 50-50 chance. Because like you said, something else alternative always kind of comes from it. And it opens up like a style of play that I might not have indulged in before. I might not have even put any points in. Like, originally, I put nothing into my guy's like physicality. He was not someone who would do well in a fight. But then when I fluked my way through a fight once, I thought, well, this is probably something to focus on, or at least build up a little bit. And then I kind of like put a few points into that. And it opened up an entire different style of play that I might not have got if I was just trying to drama or, you know, logic my way through something. So that kind of made me appreciate it more, losses rather than the wins.
It's weird with that stuff, because yeah, you have these sort of like four main like pillars of points, I guess, and one of them is like a more physics-based thing, like being physically intimidating, or I forget what the other three are, but I didn't have any points in that either. But there's one bit at the beginning when you come up against this guy who's like blocking the way to get through somewhere, and one of the options for me was just give him a roundhouse kick. So I was just like, I'll totally do that, and it only had a 3% chance to work, but it did work. And I think it is actually the animation that's in one of the trailers, where you're dude who's like hung over to hell, just wants to get like headache medicine or whatever, just busts out a full perfect roundhouse kick and takes down this dude in one hit, and that guy's just knocked out for like a considerable amount of time, and everyone else is like, oh my god, what have you done? But things like that, I think that it's weird because it's sort of like, you know, in regards to the thought stuff, it encourages you to experiment with different thoughts, but then some of the options in regards to like, oh, if this scene plays out, I want to see what that's like, without like going too overboard with it, because I'm still trying to play the way that I think I would have my agency in this world.
Well, what I love is that you have to actually, think about it, you know, when you're like looking through like these options and stuff, because you've got so many warring voices in your head, you might have an option like that roundhouse kick thing where you get logic saying, look, analyze his kind of like fight process, do this. But then you might get like your physical intimidatedness rushing in, being like, no, don't think about it. Just whack him again. Mm-hmm. And then in that moment, you kind of have to be like, right, which of these do I trust more? Which of these kind of can assess the situation better, like which part of myself do I trust? And I thought that was so fascinating, because the first time I did that thing, I just trusted the first voice in my head that kind of popped up, because it was a success. It was like, right, you've got him on the back foot, just give him a right hook or something. So I was like, right, okay, I'll give him a right hook. Then he completely dodged it, and then the same part of my head was like, ooh, that was a mistake, I'm sorry. And I was like, well, you told me to do it.
That's pretty great. The nearest thing I've got to like one of the voices feeling like it has like a personality is, have you got any points in electrochemistry? Or have you missed that? Yeah, because the one that just wants to get hammered, like drunk and take drugs and do everything. And I just thought that, like, I forget how I initially put points into that, but for whatever reason, electrochemistry is one of the most regular voices in my dude's head, where like, you know, you'll find different pieces of evidence. Like I said, like you'll find drugs, you'll find access to alcohol, you'll find these different things. And this dude, I mean, you should also point out that the voiceover, I was Googling the dude's name, because it's apparently a really well-known jazz musician called Lenville Brown. And he's the guy that does all the voices for all the different thought processes, but he does put on different sort of like intonations or affectations for different types. Like he plays the electrochemistry is like this full on like, yeah, man, just take it. Just take this thing. Just whatever you want. Like, don't worry about it. And that's kind of fun. But yeah, like in terms of like voices warring in my dude's head, electrochemistry is always like butting in to be like, just take it. Just snort this thing. Let's just get this party eyes, baby. Let's do this thing. And I'm always like, that's always paired off against logic, and I forget what the other sort of voices are that promote the idea of being like the good cop. One thing I was going to mention, because the thing is, like, playing as a good cop, one like church of thought that this thing suggested was this, like, being a boring cop. Like, to me, it popped up and it was like, you like doing everything by the book, you're clearly trying to solve this case, you don't care about, you know, getting drunk or whatever, do you want to subscribe to the thought process of being, they had a name for it, so like bore cop or boring cop. And in that instance, I was like, well, no, like I do want to engage with everything else that's here. It's just that I'm here. It was like my video game brain was like, well, I do want to make some actual progress. I don't just want to postal it or GTA it like on a wanted level style thing. I want to do this stuff. But have you had like any moments like that where it suggested something where you've gone like, no, I don't want to go down this route because it feels like it'll block something off?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Not necessarily like that. I've never had like a sort of instance where I've worried that it's going to block something off in the future. There have been moments where I've had like a thought process where I've decided that's not who I want this character to be, or it's I don't think that's what the character would say in that moment. So I've kind of, you know, told them to F off or just like go away, even though it might have sounded appealing. Like, to me, my character has an issue with authority in general, whether that's in the actual like flesh and establishments or just in his head. So every single time they mention something like that, he just flips them off and like decides not to go for it.
One thing that I, in that regard, like, because at the very beginning, like I said earlier on, like I didn't go to the murder scene initially. I ended up wandering away and I talked to this character called Judith or Joyce, one of the two. And she's like a union. She's been sent in to sort of quell one of the uprisings between like the union workers and this other company that they're sort of like rebelling against because they just want to work or whatever. And she's been like put in there to try and make peace. And so she was one of the first characters that I talked to. And so like my, like, the loads of options that it gives you at the beginning, or at least from her, were like, this is the history of the world, because your dude is so out of it, you can be like, literally, I don't remember anything. Tell me what humans are doing in this place. And that like serves as your sort of backstory. But from there, she sort of says like, well, this war happened between these two factions, and like, you know, what are your thoughts on that? And you could literally be like, oh, filthy commies, they should have all been shot, or like, hot, like, oh, I'm totally with the anarchists, we should have done this. And so like, there was a point for me where at the beginning I was like, well, I personally, as literally me, I'm not educated enough to like war in on this stuff. So like I had to just go with the, I'm not, because one of the options is I'm not comfortable saying anything on this yet, which again, I don't know how intentional that is. And it might be because I went to that character too early, but there was a point at the beginning where I was like, this game really wants me to have opinions. And like, I can totally have some opinions, but I need more info on the context. I need more info on what I'm saying. It's not just going to be a base political opinion devoid of context, intent, everything else. And so like, I don't know if you had like those sort of interactions where you were just like, I want to wait before I weigh in on this stuff, because it feels like it's, you know, it's tracking everything you're saying. And so for me, I was like, I need more information. And where I am now, I can have those conversations. I can weigh in and say, oh, this person was in the wrong, in the right, whatever. But at the beginning, it all kind of folds into that maelstrom of like, oh my God, there's so much here. And it's very sociopolitical. It's very like, yeah, conversations on the state of the world and state of like, you know, personal agency in these different sort of political realms of thought. And I was like, I have no, hook to actually have a conversation on this stuff in the context that's given.
Yeah, I mean, totally, especially early on, when you're kind of like feeling your way through those conversations, like it's a lot to take in. I do like that they give you the option to kind of like report back later when you do know more. But I also like that in those moments, you do get to like have extreme reactions, even though you don't know what on earth is happening. And I thought that was quite funny and quite informed the character as well, because it's just like, yeah, they're learning this for the first time. Maybe they would just ascribe to the first thing they hear, you know, because it sounds good and it involves them. So then they're like, yeah.
Which does reflect a lot of people online sometimes. Yeah.
Totally, yeah. But I like in those conversations as well, that it's not just like, it's not just a political alignment simulator. It's not just, you know, you're not just answering questions to figure out where you fit on the scale. You also have to take into consideration, obviously, the context of the world, but more importantly, who you're talking to and whether and how much you want information for them and how much you want them, how much you want to play them and manipulate them. You might play into someone's good books and ascribe to a thought process you don't agree with in real life to get more information from them. And you might not feel good about it. Or Kim, for instance, might be like, I don't think we should have done that. But it's something that you kind of like can do and you have to take into consideration. So I like that when it comes to like those kind of moments, they can be blisteringly funny and ultimately mean nothing. But also in the key moments, you have to be like, right, how much do I want to get information from this person versus how much will I feel like I've lost my dignity or gone against what I truly believe in if I do side with them? Like, there are a few missions in the game that I've turned down because I felt like me in real life and also the character that I'm playing wouldn't want to do that, wouldn't want to get that kind of like grimy with certain things. So we've been like, look, it's not worth it. I'm going to find a different way. And I like that that's in there because obviously, you know, it's a game. It's not passing judgment on you as a person, but I like that, you know, you can draw the line and be like, nah, I'm not going to do it. I'll find another way, even if it's going to be really difficult, you know, like, screw you.
Yeah, I think that that stuff, like, it's weird because I always have this issue when I'm playing any game with a whole ton of different options where it's like, how much am I committing to this thing? Or do I have faith in the developers, faith in the writing, the quality of the writing, that there's going to be something else further down the line that actually lets me double cross them? Like, I'm saying temporarily that I'll side with someone to get this information because my gamer brain wants to progress the overall story. And I know that this character knows the thing that I need to know. But I also like don't want to be seen with them. And it's like, how much is that? How much am I locked into that path? And I think that a lot of the like genius of the writing for the most part comes through in saying like, hey, look, we are going to give you agency the whole way through. Like you're going to be able to, even at the last minute, pull back and say, actually, I don't want to work with them, even though you have just done the thing that would have got them in their good books or whatever. I'm keeping it so vague, but I think that I've had a couple of interactions like that where characters have been like, oh, you're with them now because you did this. And I can literally be like, no, F you. I just did that because I needed this item, or like I just needed to do this thing to get through this door or whatever. And it's weird because I think like in games, it's always a back and forth thing of like, do I do what the character would do based on the context, or do I do what I want to see as the player? And I think sometimes those things kind of mesh a little bit. I was going to mention I do think it bugged me a bit where, like I said, personally, like I'm not keeping up on, you know, various sort of like, you know, political alignments, different philosophies that go into different political thoughts. So when they very brazenly throw up like filthy commie this and whatever capitalist dog and whatever else, I'm like, well, like I vaguely know those things, or I know them enough to have a conversation about them, but not to have like not to get so involved in the game. I wish that you could ask people, sorry, what do you mean? Because you can say, what is the police? What's a murder? What do you mean? Like, you know, what are these basic things? And it's obviously played for like laughs kind of thing, because most characters are just like, what do you mean? But I wish I could just stop them and be like, sorry, what's your definition of socialism in this context? Like, what are you aiming for? What's the ideal outcome? And then that would let me sort of have more agency in it. But again, I don't know how intentional that is, because you form those opinions over time. But I guess you didn't have that issue because you're way more like politically knowledgeable than I am anyway. Like, I'm not keeping up with that stuff.
I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean, like, obviously, I think the game, like, obviously expects you to know certain, you know, political terms, certain political schools of thought and stuff like that, and that might help you early on, especially if you're making kind of like those,
like, it's busting out the bourgeoisie straight away, and I was like, I remember that name. I told you this on Slack, that my reference point for what proletariat is comes from Family Guy. It's when Stewie says eviscerate the proletariat, and I was like, oh, that's a term I vaguely know what that is, but that's my reference point.
Yeah, I mean, I think you do learn enough more about them later on. Like, you can ask, you know, if you get, like, early on, like, the first thought thing I got, the first trophy I got was, like, you've done a lot of left-leaning stuff. I think you might be a bad commie. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll be a bad commie. Yeah, that sounds fine. So I did that. But in that situation, I could ask, like, what's communism? What are they in this context and stuff?
Because for me, the only time where I identified, quote unquote, what I was, and I will say at this point, I've only got two trophies. The first one I got was literally called the most boring centrist in the world. And that wasn't from subscribing to a train of thought. That was given for aligning with the political center 7 times in any conversation, which was more just saying, I don't want to freak out about either side at this moment. I just want to know what the evidence is or whatever. And then the other one was, I forget the name of it, but the other one was a more communistic thing where it was just sort of like aligning with like a group greater good or whatever. And I was like, okay, like, but then like you were saying before, like the game doesn't feel like it's passing judgment, but I feel like the trophy text kind of does. But I also wonder if all of that trophy text is just lampooning everything all at once, because its whole message is just like, even the term Disco Elysium is referencing like the idea that humanity is just a bunch of apes dancing at a disco, trying to be amazed by a disco ball in the middle, and we're all trying to get there, and we're all just apes duking it out. I guess, you know, that's totally all humanity is anyway.
I mean, if you look at like those trophies, or you look at like the descriptions where you like ascribe to something, it's very much like, you know, pushing it as far as it can go and like taking the piss out of it, especially in like this context where everything's just completely blown out of proportion. But for me, like vaguely knowing about that stuff and like going into it, it just allowed me to like have fun with it, like at the start, where I was just like, I was literally going around hugging all of the working class people, and I was like, yes, we have solidarity. But to the point where it was like a parody and people were like, what you're doing, this is not what we need.
I've never got the option to hug anybody. I would have totally done that.
You should have done it. So like, yeah, like those instances, I was kind of like just vaguely answering things that I'm kind of like myself politically aligned with, you know, like I was like, yes, give workers' rights, you know, stuff like that, you know what I mean? Like helping out the working class and stuff. But apart from that, like, I think it does open up to be more about like, gives you more information, lets you kind of like search for different kind of like conversations and feel out conversations in a way where you have more knowledge about the actual history of this place, because that's something that like I just found myself really interested in. Normally when it comes to games like this and their lore and mythology, I'm kind of like, well, I'll get the basics, but I'm not going to be here for the full thing. I'm not going to be going around reading all the books in Skyrim or anything like that. But here I'm like, what's this statue about? What's its significance? Who are these people? How do they, what do the victors have to say about them? What do the people who are aligned with them, like the losers, have to say about them and stuff? And it was interesting getting all of the different perspectives on a history that feels so tangible. I thought that was really cool.
That's one thing I really should have said earlier on when we outlined what Disco was. It is set in a fictional place. It is almost like it's got like tinges of cyberpunk. Like it's got little tinges of like a future city gone bad. Like there's just, it's set in this fictional place called Revachol, and you're in the like city or the town or whatever of Martinez. And there's a few different places, but you can, if you talk to that Judith character or Joyce, forget her name. She's to the west. She's away from the main body. Yeah. You talk to her about the history of the world, and she tells you like, look, where it's set in like 1957 or something, and she tells you about the world wars that happened like decades prior that have influenced why so many different political alignments are so charged, and you can't identify yourself as a liberal. That's like something you just wouldn't do, but you can go down these other routes and have these conversations with these other, like being more communist or something like that. And I think like all that stuff, like you said, is fascinating. My dumb brain though, one, like, you know, was a bit lost off with like when she just starts saying, oh, I can my character can reply with like, oh, that's such a bourgeois thing to say, and I'm like, I don't even know my own name, but I can bust that out, and I'm just like, that's a bit weird. But also when she starts like reeling off different country names and different you know, like locations that were involved in these different wars, and my dumb brain was just like, are these real places? Do I need to know this? Is this actual real world history that I also don't know? Because it is this melting pot of like terminology and, like I said, political alignment and all these different things. There's just geography and politics just personally are not two things that I keep up with unless they come across my radar, and then I'll get involved.
Geography especially, like I'm just terrible at. So every single time, like for some of the stuff, I don't need a repeat. I don't need to know what the revolution was about again and stuff like that, for instance, but I need to know where all of the different islands are, because I have no idea, and I forget it every time, and I'm like, where are you talking about again? Geography is just, it's an elusive thing in my brain, man.
I know, and I don't know how much of it, and obviously, well, I will say all of this is obviously a lot of my white privilege talking, because I have the privilege to not have to involve in those things. But one of the best things about the game is that, you know, through all the thought revelations and like through being, with the game being so confident in that use of terminology and in its like in its use of political conversation, and not in a way that makes you feel, other than I can't ask for certain explanations of things, it doesn't make you feel small. You know, you can get full on involved with these different things and flesh out these thought processes and see what that says about you. One of the best things about it has been holding up a mirror to me. And then there was one point when I didn't step in to defend someone initially. And again, the authority voice in my dude's head was like, that's weak, you should have said something. And I was like, maybe in those instances I should jump in more. But then also like that is paired off against like, you know, the empathy side of it or the logic side of it, saying like, well, maybe you need to wait until you know all the factors in this altercation and then you can get involved, which is way more how I would handle a scenario in real life. But I think the fact that they coded something that recognizes that is in itself phenomenal.
Totally. I mean, like the way it sort of, it manages, like you said, to still hold that mirror up, even in this like ridiculous scenario that, like I said, is just, it's so funny, but so like satirical at the same time. Like, I want to find out more about like these worlds. I want to find more about like these different factions and what they're interested in. Like, it was really interesting where I was talking to one character and I thought I was getting on with them quite fine until we got to know each other a bit more. And then they said something very dodgy and I thought, ooh, you've just ruined it all there. I don't know if I want to work for you people no more or be associated with you or whatever. And I think the fact that it can do that, the depth of its writing is so strong that, you know, it just completely pays off. I think the voice acting is really good as well. Obviously, like I said before, like that's new for the final cut. And not only is like the main guy who takes control of like all your thoughts and stuff really excellent, like everyone around you, from Joyce to like, I forget her name, but it's like an old woman in a wheelchair who was just like the loveliest grandma ever.
Speaking of like the voice acting, I can't imagine what it was like going through this and not having Kuno have a voice. because Kuno is one of the best. He's like, he's an absolute like rotter of a person. Or he seems to
gremlin.
Be. Yeah, a little gremlin. He's just this little angry child who's throwing stones at the body when you first go there to analyze the crime scene. And you can talk to him and his I think it's his sister that's there. And you can have this whole conversation with him, but you do find out why he's so messed up. And he does have like little quests for you to sort of go on. Nothing is ever advertised, signposted as like a side quest from these characters. You sort of have like a little, like a quest log, but in regards to him, he'll say like, hey, if you go over here, you can investigate this thing, and you do find out why he's so messed up. But his voice acting is just brilliant. Like, I mean, there's so many characters, like you said, that old woman that you meet in the hotel, characters that I can't imagine them without the voice. Like, that's what really makes the whole thing pop.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I've had that glitch. Fortunately, I've had no game-breaking glitches or anything like that, no frame rate drops, but I have had a glitch where the voice acting just kind of like drops out, and I'm like, and I'm just reading it, and when I'm reading it, I'm like, obviously the quality of the writing is keeping me in, but I'm missing the voice acting. So it is interesting that, you know, obviously it didn't have voice acting when it first released in 2019. And I feel like that does add so much, especially when you're playing it on a TV. And I find the text quite small, even with
it's minute, pushed up. My friend.
It really is.
It's a whole conversation at the minute that I'm having mostly internally that I think my eyes are dying. But I think that's also because we've been in like lockdown for over a year. And I'm just like, everything is blurrier these days. I'm like, oh, is that because I've been doing entire shifts on a laptop looking downwards at it for a year? Or is it things like this game where the text's tiny? I'm like, oh, am I getting old? Is it the screen? The fact that you're younger and you're having the same thing has given me peace of mind, to be honest.
No, it is. It is certainly an issue. And I like that. You know, this time around, normally when I have games like this, which I obviously, you know, have voice actors and stuff, I will read the text and then I'll just like skip it once I've read it.
Yeah.
But here I'm letting the voice acting play out in full for the most part. So I'm getting like the full experience and I'm finding that kind of, I feel like it fits the pace a bit more, at least for me. Like I don't normally do this, but I feel like, you know, I'm allowed to drink it in a little bit more and I kind of like hang on every word in a way that I wouldn't otherwise. And things feel a bit more impactful. And like I said, that has a lot to do with the voice acting, which in itself for a lot of it is like quite unconventional. Like these don't sound like video game voice actors. Well, I think in a way that works.
No, apparently they're not. Apparently I read a whole thing that they recruited different actors from the specific parts of the world that they wanted to connote. So it's like this big global cast, which I love. And I don't like, obviously, like, I mean, the vast majority, if not all of the places mentioned have to be fictional. I'm pretty sure they are. But the whole idea of it is this melting pot of different cultures and like thought processes. And it's weird because in the game, they'll cite like, oh, it's this ancient Buddhist practice of sort of like doing like, this way of approaching the world. And it's like, okay, that's a real world thought that you've brought into your like fictional context. Yeah. But like the actual people that you're mentioning are perhaps not actually like a real world people. I wish I knew all that stuff just off the top of my head where I could be like, oh, that's so clever because that part's fictional but this part's actually real and you've brought that in or whatever, and I sort of get a bit lost off with that stuff. One last thing that I want to mention before we wrap is just that one of the things that I absolutely adored about it is when it makes the shift from like, you know, you spent the first sort of, I don't know, a couple hours of the game being like completely burnt out, just being completely lost. Well, you can alter that a bit if you make a point of seeking out some like headache tablets and you get yourself like a drink and you sort of, you do what you would do if you were hungover and you start piecing things together. But for me, one of the bits that I absolutely loved was when those dice rolls start going in your favor, when you realize that you have enough points to like actually control a situation and you actually start making breakthroughs in the case. And like your character themselves starts kind of having more agency in that world and not being such a laughing stock and like being able to like follow up on leads and it all starts knitting itself together. That was one of my personal favorite moments where I get like four or five different dice rolls in a row. I know what I'm saying. I have these opinions on this world because I know more about it. And like, that's why I was saying before that I wonder how much that opening sprawl is completely intentional without a tutorial, because they want you to figure yourself out through the character. And so when it finally starts coming together, I was like, this actually feels great. Like this is, it makes everything totally work.
No, I think it totally is. I think, you know, that's a huge part of why Kuno is one of the first characters you're supposed to meet if you go straight to the body, you know, because it's literally you, this hungover mess who, you know, you might not have even found your shoe at this point. You might be one shoe down, talking to this like absolute gremlin child who's throwing stones at a thing and is not giving you any answers. He's swearing at you, throwing homophobic slurs at you, you know, calling you a pedophile and stuff like that. And you're just sort of in this situation where you're like, I am hungover, I'm a cop, I need to solve the case. You were giving me nothing. I might actually roundhouse kick you in the face. You know what
you
I mean?
You can't hit him, I think. I think one of the options is to hit him.
I think you can try. I didn't dare because I thought he'd batter me. I was like, he's 12 years old, but he still would batter me. But yeah, I think that's intentional to go from that to the point later on where you do feel in control, like you said. you know, the character, without giving too much away about his history previously, you know, he has the ability to be a good cop. And by that, I mean, like, close cases, you know, find things out, you know, solve crimes. And it's just whether or not you kind of like want to get back to that level. And when you do, or partly do, even if you're still doing it in the most disastrous way possible, which I totally am. And, you know, I've had to give in to some vices. There was one time where I broke from Kim to break into a place to steal some speed to shoot up there so I could do a day's work.
Brilliant.
And I was like, that is dangerous stuff, but it's like you
might do
there.
This total teetotal. Like, I haven't drank, I haven't done any drugs since the big binge at the very beginning that puts you there in the first place. Cause I was like, no, if I've hit rock bottom and I'm coming back, like, which like is like the story that I can, or a thought process that I can sort of mirror from some friends that I've got and things like that, stuff where people have hit the bottom and come back up again. I am all about, on a personal level, I am all about the upward trajectory. I'm all about the redemption and that kind of thing. Yeah. So my dude is like, that's why I said, like, the thing that made me feel so good is when things actually start working again. But that's obviously in itself a comment on how I, you know, the things I would chase out in the world. Like, I'm not going to indulge in the vices. The thoughts are in the dude's head, but like, I'm not going to, like when the electrochemistry is like, just shoot up all six lines of this thing in front of you. And I'm just like, no electrochemistry. We need to figure it out using logic, sir.
No, I mean, that's like, that's what I'm so interested to see, like, not only what you've been doing, but what other people have been playing. Whoever's listening to this, I'd be really fascinated to see how they've, like, gone through the game, like, the way they've molded their character, what things they've given into, what impulses they've given into, what they've kind of, like, stood firm against. Because I just think there's, like, so much variety and so many different ways you can go through it, so many different ways you can build that. Yeah, you will get that same satisfying curve of starting from the bottom and eventually gaining some control. But I think everyone will get that control in a different way and from a different place, whether it's through logic, whether it's through drinking drugs, whether it's through, like,
people.
I said... Yeah, punching people straight in the dick, you know what I mean? Like, there's always a way, and that's what I'm really enjoying about it. And I hope that it keeps up that level of freedom and that level of agency, like, going into the late game. I'm excited to see what
I tell you what's really fascinating on a consumer data level is that the data that Zaum now have as developers, if they're tracking all these choices, all these different thought processes, they like that data that is tracking so many different ways that we all think and play, and like X many people gave into this guilty pleasure, and X many people like tried to go with this, but then they went down this other route, and it's just like they tried this dice roll, but it didn't work, or they hovered over this dialogue option, then they did this. Because I've had the game pop up and be like, oh, you hovered over that thing for too long, and then you went to the next thing. Oh, did you really mean this? And it's just like I said, with the cogs whirring in the background, like, is it literally tracking every single thing that you're doing? Because it does feel like that. But yeah, so I mean, we might end up doing a spoiler cast depending on how fast we get through it. April seems to be the month where actual games come out, or at least in regards to, there's a PS5 exclusive towards the end of the month. But yeah, we might do a Disco Elysium spoiler thing in the future. For now, I've been Scott Tailford, joined by Josh Brown.
Goodbye.
Thank you all very much for listening. We'll catch you all next week. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.